The following sermon was delivered by summer pastoral resident Baron Flood in the sanctuary of Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. We welcome you to worship with us every Sunday in person or on live stream. For details, go to fapc.org. And now, here's Baron Flood.
This morning, we're continuing our summer sermon series, Water in the Desert. In this season of geopolitical and literal heat, we are turning to Scripture to quench our thirst. We as a congregation are looking to the wisdom of our ancestors in the faith who have found new life, hope, and comfort in water. Our text this morning is the story of the prophet Elijah and the drought found in 1 Kings chapters 17 and 18. But as we speak about dry seasons today, we also need to acknowledge that not all the suffering in our world comes from drought. In fact, as we gather today, the opposite is true for many in our country. The devastating floods in Texas have taken dozens of lives, and many remain missing. As we grieve this loss, hold this tragedy and all those who are impacted by it in our hearts, and assess the ways in which the mission and outreach of this church can support those affected, let us remember that God's promise is not only about water in the desert, but also about presence in the storm. While our story today may be about droughts and rain, our God is with us in all seasons. Let's turn now to Scripture's selected verses from 1 Kings chapter 17 and 18. Now Elijah, the Tishbite of Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year of the drought, saying, "Go, present yourself to Ahab. I will send rain on the earth." So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. The famine was severe in Samaria. Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of rushing rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink. Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. There he bowed himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. He said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." The servant went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." Then Elijah said, "Go again seven times." At the seventh time, the servant said, "Look, a cloud no bigger than a person's hand is rising out of the sea." Then Elijah said, "Go say to Ahab, harness your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." In a little while, the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. Ahab rode off and went to Jezreel. But the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran out in front of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. This is the word of the Lord. There's an image that's been on my mind as I've been reading this scripture this week, and I think it's one that many of you will be able to recognize. The other day, I was riding the Q train from Brooklyn when a man wearing a denim jacket and a camo trucker hat walked into the subway car. He started waving around a large brown leather Bible and saying that he had a message for us, from the first chapter of Colossians. Now, being in the line of work that I'm in, I paused my podcast so that I could listen. His message was a little incoherent, but there seemed to be some good points about grace and mercy until things got apocalyptic and he was lost in the shuffle of folks exiting at Canal Street. When we read about the Old Testament prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, and of course Elijah, we often imagine them as mystical fortune tellers with long white beards, speaking from some distant holy place, dressed in gem-toned robes. But I want us to step out of that stained glass image for a moment and step onto the subway. I want us to think about the prophets as people. People with a message of what could be. Some of them are heard, some of them are misunderstood, some of them get it right, and some of them get it wrong. Prophets aren't always clear-eyed sages in flowing robes. Sometimes they're loud guys with Bible on the Q train. But whether ancient or modern, prophets speak into dry, despairing, resigned, painful seasons with conviction that change is coming. And if we think about prophets in this way, as people making predictions about what could be and speaking to the possibility of change in the world, then there's a sense in which we all have the capacity to meet that definition. We all speak about the future. We plan. We prepare. We let our vision of what's to come shape how we act, how we talk to each other, how we treat each other. All of us have a prophetic message. With that in mind, let's turn back to our story this morning. In our text, we see Elijah acting as a kind of holy meteorologist. To provide a little bit of context, the setting is about 100 years after the reign of David, during the reign of King Ahab. David's kingdom is divided, and the defining feature of Ahab's reign is that the people have turned away from the God, our God, and begun worshiping Baal, a Canaanite god of fertility, storms, and rain. At the beginning of chapter 17, Elijah suddenly appears and declares that there will be no rain. In chapter 18, after 3 years of the drought, the world is dry, the crops are dead, the people are hungry, and there hasn't been a cloud in the sky in what seems like forever. God commands Elijah to return to Ahab and announce that God is going to end the drought. Now, we didn't read this part of the story in chapter 18, but Elijah, in order to demonstrate the power of the God and bring people back to the faith, challenges Ahab to bring all the people and 450 prophets of Baal to Mount Carmel for a dramatic showdown. Each side prepares a sacrifice, but is told not to light the fire. The prophets of Baal call on their God all day, but nothing happens. Elijah, alone, then prepares the altar of the Lord. He drenches the sacrifice with precious water and prays. Fire from heaven falls, consuming the altar and even the water. The people fall on their faces, declaring the Lord indeed is God. But the drought is ongoing. The people are still hungry, the earth is still dry, and now fire, and not rain, has come down from the sky. And it's at that point that we get to the heart of our lesson this morning. As the altar is burning, Elijah turns to Ahab and says, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of rushing rain." Now, at this moment, there is no rain, not a drop. The sky is clear. Elijah doesn't see anything yet, but he speaks as if the drought is over. While Ahab celebrates, Elijah goes up to the top of the mountain. He bends down to the ground, puts his face between his knees, and prays. And he says to the young man who is with him, "Go up now, look toward the sea." The man goes, looks, comes back with nothing. No cloud, no wind, no rain. But Elijah doesn't give up. He tells the young man, "Go again 7 times. Over and over, he sends him up the hill to look to the sea. For 6 of those times, there's still no change, still no sign. And yet Elijah keeps anticipating. He stays in prayer, waiting expectantly. Then on the 7th time, the young man reports that a little cloud, no bigger than a person's hand, is rising out of the sea. That tiny cloud is enough for Elijah. He gets up, tells the young man to go and to tell Ahab to stop feasting and celebrating, gather all the people that are with him, and start driving his chariots the 25 miles back to the city, because there is going to be so much rain on this dry world that the roads are going to turn into mud. And sure enough, scripture tells us that a little while later, the heavens grew black and there was a heavy rain. At this point, Ahab is already on his way to the city. We are told that the power of the Lord comes upon Elijah, and he gathers up his garment, and not only manages to catch up with the chariots, but runs out ahead of Ahab in the rain all the way to the city. Right now, we find ourselves in a metaphorical wilderness, a vast desert where the challenges of the world seem overwhelming. Conflict, division, anxiety, isolation, loss, climate catastrophe, political uncertainty, it can all feel too heavy, like too much. It can be very easy to fall into despair and believe that the drought is permanent. But our scripture this morning pushes back on that assumption. Elijah's story tells us that the drought is not permanent. Elijah's belief, stubborn, expectant, grounded in God's character, shapes how Elijah acts, prays, and moves in the world. And it can shape us in our day-to-day prophecies too. Let me lift up two observations from Elijah's holy meteorology. First, Elijah clearly believes that the drought is not permanent. He has hope and belief in God's promise that things can be better. Elijah proclaims the end of the drought before there's a single cloud in the sky. His faith does not rest on what is immediately visible, but on God's promise and what he knows about God's character. When others had resigned themselves to the famine and to despair, Elijah felt the faint chance of rain. Elijah teaches us to live with the expectation that healing, provision, and restoration can follow even in the darkest seasons. If we think the drought is forever, we'll stop planting, stop building, stop dreaming. But trusting in God's ark, believing in the rain even before the first drop, shapes our choices, shapes our prayers, and shapes our outlook. My second observation, though, is that Elijah doesn't just wait for the drought to end. He's an active participant. He speaks about it. He acts on it. He keeps looking for the rain. He sends his servant up the mountain 7 times, even when there's been no sign of change. He doesn't give up. His belief is not a passive thing. It's active. It's prayerful. It's persistent. He doesn't just sit still and hope. Elijah moves, and he makes sure that others are ready too. He tells Ahab to start preparing before a single drop has fallen, because hope isn't just personal, it's communal. Elijah knows that what's coming is for everyone, not just him. And he wants the people to be ready when the rain breaks through. Back to the present. The corner of 55th and 5th Avenue, New York City, July 4th weekend, 2025. At this point in the sermon, I often find myself agreeing with the pastor, but wondering what any of this looks like when you walk back out the front door and back into the city. I don't know if you feel it too, but whether it's our social media feeds or the conversations I'm overhearing on the street or having with friends, there's just a distinct sense of cynicism and weariness these days. And to be clear, I get it. A few weeks ago, I was with 2 friends. I'll call them Jack and Jill for purposes of the story. The conversation drifted, as it often does, to the state of the world. And Jill kept offering hopeful little nuggets, things she'd read, encouraging signs of progress, good news stories. And Jack and I just kept shooting them down, saying that'll never happen, referencing push alerts, headlines, the overwhelming tide of bad news from all sides. And finally, Jill just sighed and said, well, you two are determined to leave me without any hope at all, aren't you? And her words stuck with me. Whether we realize it or not, we're all offering a kind of prophecy with our lives. A story about the future, a prediction of what's to come. To the extent there is a takeaway this morning, it's to be aware of your prophetic message. What truth are you projecting into the world about where it's all going and whether anything can change? I think we all need a little bit of self-assessment about our relationship to the drought. Are you on top of the mountain praying, waiting, encouraging others, and trusting that God will end this weather? Or have you resigned yourself to the dryness? Sometimes hope isn't a feeling, it's a choice. A decision to plant seeds even when the sky is clear. A willingness to say, I believe that the drought will not last forever, even when nothing has changed yet, or even when things have gotten worse. And to be clear, having hope doesn't mean ignoring the very real struggles and injustice we see around us. It doesn't mean pretending everything is fine, but it does mean refusing to let the dryness define us, because we believe in a God who brings rain. Mixing just a little bit of hope into your prophetic message may not end the drought, but to borrow from Reverend Chris's sermon a few weeks ago, it might be enough to water your little patch of wilderness, or better yet, someone else's. Expressing hope and possibility to someone might be what pushes someone to take a risk in their career. Apply for that program, pick up the phone and call someone they've been putting off. Volunteer more. So no, I'm not saying we all need to start preaching on subway cars, but I am saying we need to push back against the cynicism of the world that says it will never change. That's not our story. We are people of a different story. People who believe in the possibility of restoration. People who keep going back to look at the sky even when it's been clear before. People who live and speak and act as if there's a chance of rain. There's a part of today's scripture that we haven't really talked about yet, and that's the end. When the rain finally comes and Elijah gathers up his garment and runs out ahead of Ahab's chariot. It's always struck me as a little bit of an odd detail. After all that waiting and praying and prophesying, after the fire has fallen from heaven and the rain begins to pour, I kind of expect Elijah to stay on top of that mountain, maybe with his arms raised in praise, but probably a little tired. But no, Elijah runs 25 miles ahead of the king's chariot. And there's debate among the scholars about why Elijah does this. I'll offer my own interpretation in the mix this morning. I think it's deeply human, because hope is hard, and even for prophets, doubt is real. Elijah was staking everything on a promise that had not come true yet. I wonder whether the great prophet Elijah, the one who in a couple chapters will be taken up to be with God in a flaming chariot, might have been standing on top of that mountain, dry and dusty from 3 years of drought, eyebrows singed from the burning altar, surrounded by hungry and angry people, having brought hundreds out to hear and see him, and having not only predicted a chance of rain, but told everybody to prepare and act as if a deluge is coming. My experience as a human makes me speculate whether up until the moment the heavens opened up, there was a small voice in Elijah's head asking, what if nothing happens? But it did. The drought ended. Elijah's trust in God and belief in a slight chance of precipitation were rewarded. And in that moment of joy when the impossible has actually happened, Elijah can't help but do anything other than run out ahead of the chariots. Elijah's work isn't done. This is far from a happy ending in the broader story. In fact, the next chapter is filled with conflict and fear. This is not the end of all drought forever, but that doesn't make this moment of rain any less real or any less meaningful. The world is full of voices that say it is too late, that nothing can change, that the drought is permanent. But we are people of another story, a story where clouds rise and where rain returns to a dry and weary land. Hope and faith are a refusal to let current weather conditions define the future. Be a voice that predicts a little precipitation. Don't resign yourself to the dryness, for this world may be heavy with need and despair, but there's always a chance of better weather in the forecast. Amen. As we go from this place, be prophets in the wilderness. Believe in the promise of better days, even when you can't yet see the rain clouds. Have the strength to take action, to trust in the power of prayer, and to share hope with others. In the midst of the drought, hold on to the faith that there is always a chance of rain. And may the blessings of Almighty God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with us all and remain with us always. Amen.
We hope this sermon has been meaningful to you and given you a measure of hope, encouragement, and good news. If you would like to make a donation to support this audio ministry, please visit fapc.org/give. Thank you and blessings to you on this day.